This is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye!
Welcome back, welcome back. We're here again today. We're back to basics, very basic, completely essential for our health and well-being. And we're going to be going over the mineral magnesium. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And are we ready to do magnesium?
I think we are. Magnesium is so important.
I wanted to start by talking a little bit about my week because it was crazy, absolutely surprising. And what happened was, in the last 3 weeks, I've had about 18 people call me, approximately, who have tested positive for COVID and asking for some assistance. I have a very dear friend, a doctor, a pediatrician, and he said that he had over 115 people in the last 3 weeks call testing positive for COVID. And I spoke to another doctor. He said, my office looks like an ER room with people all ill with flu, some of them testing positive for COVID. But yet that's the bad news. But the good news is that none of these people are dying. None of these people need respirators. And they're getting better quite rapidly. And part of that is definitely due to the fact of the therapies that we're recommending. They're basic, they're simple, they support the body, and the body can knock this flu right out. Carol, I'll give you just a quick example of what happened in my house.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay. On Thursday, my son went to school. He was feeling fine, came home, and that night he said, I'm not well. I touch him, he has a fever. So I go to get my trusty nebulizer, can't find it. I've loaned it out. I have two in the house and I've loaned them to other people. So the next morning he wakes up and he's ill. He really doesn't feel well. His body aches, he's got a headache, he's got a low-level fever of 99.8 or 100 or 101, right in there. But he knows he's ill. Mm-hmm. So we give him a handful of vitamins, nutrients, vitamin D, vitamin C, magnesium, and some quercetin, zinc, vitamin A. Put him back to bed.
Millennium.
Oh, yes. Millennium? Yes, I do, because I got the ACEs formula, and it has selenium in it.
I like that formula.
Mm-hmm. And so he's all loaded up with supplements, and he goes to take a nap. Wakes up still feeling ill. Well, now I've got the nebulizer. I've gathered everything I need. And it's evening now, and I put him on the nebulizer. And my formula, we have the formula posted.
It's on our Facebook page. I did it yesterday. It's Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. So it's easily downloaded from there.
Uh-huh. And it's an easy formula, quite lovely. And so I nebulize my son once at about 6 o'clock, and then he's starting to get tired. At around 9, I nebulize him again. He can't go to sleep without. He woke up this morning, said, "This is a miracle. I woke up and I expected to be sick, and I don't feel sick at all. It's all gone." It's all that, the surprise and enthusiasm of youth was blossoming on him again. And we were able to knock out the flu that he had, and also we, everyone in the house nebulized. I nebulized. My husband nebulized. And we all woke up feeling healthy. And it's just wonderful. My friend, the pediatrician, he's dealing with sick little kids all day. And he goes to look at their throats and they cough in his face. isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And he's wiping his face, drying it off again after they're through coughing. And yet he hasn't gotten ill. And part of the reason is the supplements he takes, and he nebulizes every day. He also comes in once a week for, and we're going to explain this in the interview today, in our Back to Basic interview, he comes in once a week for a Myers cocktail. And that does sound like a hot toddy, but it really isn't. And it's not something we do on the slopes. And we'll explain it to you, and we'll explain the formula to you. So, Carol, getting back to our basics, or do you want to add something there?
Well, no, we've got that post, and I think you gave a good review. But what wasn't talked about was magnesium and how important it is. Marcus Serkis wrote a little piece, and he thought that as many as 9 out of 10 people are deficient in magnesium. And magnesium is one of those supplements and minerals that we need a lot of. The upper limit dosing is 350 milligrams, but that is of elemental magnesium. When you look at magnesium products in the health food store, it'll say magnesium something. Let's say just for the sake of talking about it, magnesium ascorbate. It's combined with vitamin C. So that ascorbate of the molecule has a certain percentage, and the magnesium has a certain percentage of the weight of that. So often when you have that, say, it said magnesium ascorbate, 350 milligrams, that would be including the ascorbate part. In reality, if they put the elemental mercury down there, you might be getting 30 milligrams or so. So something to watch on your labeling. So magnesium is so important. Your muscles and your bones store it. It's a big part of your bony structure. It prevents blood pressure problems. We used to have this diagnosis of essential hypertension. Do you remember hearing that, Corinne?
Oh, yes.
Essential.
Forever.
What did that mean? It means we have no idea why you have high blood pressure. So, and what wasn't happening, and we see a little bit more of it now, is our practitioners fail to really dig into what's going on in the body. So, Corinne, you used to be involved in delivering babies all the time. There was pre-eclampsia and enclampsia. With critical high blood pressure just before delivery or at delivery in women, and the treatment was magnesium.
IV magnesium, and you could bring that down. The women looked like they were totally deformed, so swollen.
A lot of water retention.
Tremendous ankles, arms, belly, face, so you couldn't even recognize your patient. And it was a combination of two things. It's low protein and low magnesium. The treatment was magnesium and bed rest. Lie on your side so that would assist and initiate urination and IV, not oral. Oral wasn't enough nor fast enough, but IV magnesium and eating adequate protein in any way we could get into the woman. And we really were able to prolong pregnancies and save lives, because pregnant women die of preeclampsia, or have the potential of dying because they go into spasm. Very, very.
So that reminds me of Dr. Jonathan Wright and Dr. Alan Gaby used to have these nutritional courses. I mean, 1,000 people would be there, and big attendance and big interest. And one of the common themes, Dr. Wright was always saying, if it spasms, give it magnesium. So people are plagued with spasming of legs, tics and whatnot. So magnesium would be a place to look. Also with Alan Gaby, you told me that you actually trained with Alan Gaby on the Myers cocktail, and there's he published, you can find his paper in PubMed about the effectiveness of a Myers cocktail for things like asthma, think spasms, and things like allergic reactions when you have huge amounts of histamine being released. What was your experience with Dr. Gaby?
Well, it's funny because I must have gone to the same conference you went to because before we knew each other, because Alan Gaby and Jonathan Wright are two of the originals, one of the first kind of famous holistic doctors, and that would go around teaching holistic medicine to other medical professionals all over the country. And they always had these, if it spasms, give it magnesium, these type of quips that you would never forget. Well, Alan Gaby started talking about the Myers cocktail, and what it came from a Dr. Myers, a very prominent cardiologist in Washington, D.C. He'd worked with presidents and very famous. And what he found was he started giving an IV magnesium in very low doses. And what he found is that people with arrhythmias, people with fatigue who couldn't get over surgeries, people with low energy, people with spasms, he could turn that around in just instantly, and the problem wouldn't come back. He found that by giving these little magnesium pushes, his surgery recovery rate became so much higher. And in some cases, he was able to avoid surgery. And now he added to the protocol, and he used magnesium, he used vitamin C, he used very low level of B vitamins, he used a trace of calcium, just a trace to balance the magnesium, and a trace of potassium, and then normal saline. And he would push it, IV push, rapidly. And so the patient would get a little bit lightheaded. They'd be sitting down or lying down, but they would feel warm all over. They would sit there for a second and then get up and feel fabulous. And what was happening was that we have to understand that our whole bodies are made up of electrical energy. Our cells, we think of our cells as a solid mass. Well, our cells are held together almost like a ring of magnets. And so what happens is when you put a large amount of mineral into the bloodstream, which also has a charge, what happens, and magnesium very directly clings to the receptor sites on the cells and allows the cell to relax. And what happens is the cell then depolarizes to a slight degree and releases calcium and sodium. And when the calcium and sodium are released, the magnesium and potassium are allowed to flood in. Now, why is that important? It's important for many reasons, because our ability to make energy is based on the binding of magnesium to the adenosine triphosphate or the energy cell. So it almost is a misnomer to call it an ATP energy cell. It really should be called a magnesium ATP energy cell, because the energy cell will not work, nor will it be able to be utilized by the overall cells without that magnesium little piece connected to it. So why are we concerned about low magnesium, and where does low magnesium come from? Because everything, our entire body, runs more efficiently and literally runs with magnesium. But it's not magnesium alone. It's the balance of magnesium, of potassium, and how they work together, and traces of calcium, et cetera, et cetera. I could just go down the whole list. Go on, Carol.
Well, let's talk about magnesium deficiency. There's a physician, Carolyn DeMarco, wrote a book called The Magnesium Miracle, or The Miracle of Magnesium. And she's like based her whole practice on this foundation about how badly we need magnesium. So why do we need it so badly? So first of all, we lose magnesium when we sweat. And if we're not taking in enough, if we are constantly doing high-performance athletics or sweating in saunas and stuff, that's one of the minerals we need to replace, or we're going to be chronically deficient. Alcohol, drinking alcohol causes a magnesium deficiency because it has a diuretic effect. So you're losing more magnesium in your urine.
So no.
How many times have we talked about digestion on our show?
I can't count. Oh no, I've got my fingers out and my toes. It's more than that. More than.
So one of the things that happens is we go to the pharmacy and pick out these antacid things because we have disturbance in our gut, which is really, we don't have enough digestive enzymes, we don't have enough stomach acid, but the antacids neutralize what little stomach acid we have, and we need acid to absorb minerals, and magnesium being probably the one we need the most of.
You know what?
So,
go on. I'm sorry.
Those bottles and bottles of Maalox, Riopan, and what else there is out there.
It's interesting because we need hydrochloric acid to be able to absorb minerals. But guess what? We need magnesium. We need chloride that attaches with the magnesium to be able to make hydrochloric acid. So we're in a circle there that we cannot digest what we need to be able to make what we need, which is hydrochloric acid, to be able to absorb what we need. It becomes this full round robin that we're looking at. But let's go back to the deficiencies, Carol.
Okay, here's one I'm guilty of. I have my cup of coffee right here.
Me too.
It's one of my favorite drugs. So the caffeine, and you may notice that when you drink coffee, also has a diuretic effect. It forces you to create more urine. And just as with the alcohol, we have a depletion of the magnesium with that urine. So chronic coffee drinkers without magnesium support have a problem. Then there's drugs. I should really talk about fluoride and fluorine first in water, and then we can go to the drugs.
Okay.
All our water supplies, there are very few cities that do not have fluoride or fluorine added to the water supply. And these bind with magnesium. This molecule binds with magnesium. It makes magnesium fluoride, which is hard, insoluble crystalline. And so it's getting deposited into our bony tissue, and it creates brittle bones or brittle teeth. It's a really big problem with having that magnesium interaction with fluoride taking it up. But the net result is we don't make healthy tissue. In addition, our magnesium, which is so essential, as Corinne talked about, for our whole energy ATP cycle, magnesium is a key. We're using that up to bind to fluoride molecules and making it inactive. So then there's some drugs, and I'm thinking of there are some of the drugs that are antibiotics that contain a fluorine or fluoride piece of it. Prozac is another one. These are intentionally introduced into a molecule to make the drug last in your body longer. However, longer means that also your body's not able to get rid of it as it should. So here's another possibility for chelating with your magnesium and making that not available.
I want to switch a little bit, and then we'll go back to deficiencies and causes. But one of the big causes, since magnesium and since our bodies need it in large amounts, it's really quite abundant, or at least used to be. It's in the center of the chlorophyll. When you eat chlorophyll, when you eat green and you chew on it, you're breaking the molecule open and releasing magnesium. So it should be very available to us because we're looking at chlorophyll, we're looking at greens, we're looking at grains have magnesium, we're looking at nuts and seeds have magnesium. I mean, how can we not get enough magnesium? Well, what has happened is the soil, you said the word, and this is what brought me here, is chelation. The soil is being sprayed. Our foods are being sprayed, and that glyphosate binds the magnesium and binds the minerals. So we're literally growing our foods in a sterile environment and not absorbing or getting the nutrient that formerly was available in these foods into the vegetables. The vegetables are being almost like given steroids for growth, not literally, but stimulators for growth, while at the same time they're not being given the adequate nutrients. And then we eat them, and two things happen. One is we're not getting the nutrient that we need, and another is when we're through eating, we're still hungry because we haven't been satisfied by the nutrients in the food.
Glyphosate, or the major product in Roundup, was first developed in order to kill insects. And insects have a particular pathway, shikimate pathway, which having this glyphosate aboard would interfere with that and kill the insects. And it was deemed to be perfectly safe for human beings. However, as we've talked about many times on this show, the importance
22.
Of our microbiome.
Exactly.
Which makes up 90% of our bodies. We're only about 10% human and 90% other. All those other do use the shikimate pathway. So on top of the chelation effect of glyphosate, we have an interference in our microbiology. All this leads to more and more depletion of magnesium. We have many crops are being fertilized with minerals, potassium, phosphorus, but magnesium is not in that mix.
Selenium or chromium.
Right. It really makes you wonder. And on top of killing all these things, the soil has a microbiome of its own. And one of the things, a healthy microbiome, different worms and parasites and bacteria, also serve to create nutrition for the plant it's grown on. And the more and more that we kill off things, we've been for so long into this mind frame that we've got to kill everything. And we can't, because we're it and they are us. We can't go on this way without creating great damage to our human bodies. It's really interesting. We've taken this great shift into finally realizing how important the microbiome is to our cells, to our soil, to everything. So in order to have good mineralization, you need the stuff in the soil, and you need the microbes to help make it available for the plants to grow good plants. It's kind of what biodynamic farming is all about, to rebuild the soil.
I just,
so the soil enriches the plants.
I just got someone came from Greece, from the mountains of Greece, and I got a bottle of biodynamic olive oil, which has been tested at a university as the highest polyphenol they've ever tested in an oil. Okay? Amazing, absolutely amazing. I tested it, I tasted it, and it tasted like a mouthful. First of all, there's that delicious olive taste, and then it tasted like a mouthful of pepper. It was absolutely amazing, the difference in taste when you have that level of nutrient in the food that you're eating. It's just amazing. You don't need to pour a half a cup over your food. You don't cook with this oil. You use it fresh over your food. You put a tablespoon in, the whole food has a totally different, delicious flavor. And that's what happens when you're giving the foods the nutrient you need, when you're not overwatering them. When you overwater, what happens is you get these giant fruits and with no flavor, because they're growing very large, but at the same time, there's not enough nutrient there to sustain their growth. So let me go on a little tangent, then I'll pull us back in again. Right now is the time that I put my big old heavy coat on, a big hat, big wet boots on, and I go with a rake, and I go by the ocean, and I rake up seaweed. I do this every single year, and I'm filling bags, plastic bags, full of seaweed and carrying them home. With that seaweed, I'm taking them and putting them over the garden that's resting, because nothing's growing. We've got garlic planted, and that'll come up next year, but nothing is planted there other than that. And so it's resting. And during that time, I'm putting seaweed on once or twice during the winter. And what happens when I come out in the spring, there's not even one little piece of seaweed. It's all dissolved into the soil. And what are we looking at? We're looking at microbiome, which I'm enhancing. We're looking at high levels of nutrient, magnesium, iodine, zinc, iron, everything that our bodies need to be healthy is being put on top of the oil. So when I put my seeds in, up grow these beautiful bug-resistant plants that are so healthy. And when you take a bite into them, It's like a, it's better than a TikTok. It's an explosion of delicious flavor. And fortunately, it's also an explosion of health. Makes me very proud to have to feed my family food from my garden. And before I had a garden of any size, I had pots on my fire escape. So we always had a tomato with a meal, one little tomato. We cut it up and shared it. But so doing your own planting gives you a different relationship to the food that you eat, the food you're getting. And it's like taking nutrient pills. And when you treat your soil right, you're getting adequate magnesium. Carol?
There's other things that cause magnesium to be low. Many people have water softeners because the water is heavily mineralized with some metals, and your washer doesn't suds as well, etc. So they use a water softener. The trouble with the water softener is that it creates more deficiencies in your magnesium. Usually there's sodium or there's an alternative potassium, but there's no magnesium salt in the water softeners.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talked about coffee before. Tea is
not one cup of coffee.
Not one
cup of coffee. But I see people that drink 10 cups of coffee all day long. They drink it as their liquid. Now we have a problem. But don't be so afraid. Oh, my gosh, one cup of coffee and that's it. One cup of tea, oh, my goodness, I'll lose all my magnesium. No, not at all. So enjoy your one cup of coffee, Carol. Don't feel guilty.
I'm not. But tea has another thing. Tea has tannins in it. And tannins tend to bind. It's a part of a plant. Present in a lot of plants, but if you drink a lot of tea, that's also binding up your magnesium and probably other minerals too. Corinne, do you have another one?
I sure do. I have a few. And one really important one is we know that magnesium helps insulin attach to the cells. So with elevated sugar, when our sugar is high, two things happen. One is that it stimulates excretion of fluids, and it stimulates the excretion of magnesium. And then when magnesium is being excreted at a higher level than it's being taken in, what we have is higher levels of insulin resistance. We've got a full circle there. And what we find in the clinic when we're dealing with diabetic patients is they're generally severely or usually severely magnesium deficient. And, you know, when we're looking at magnesium, we're looking at cofactors of hundreds of enzymes, our ability to bind and take in protein, our ability to make energy, our ability to have an even heart rate. Is all based on multiple things, but particularly a very large portion of that is magnesium. So a magnesium deficiency is not something minor that we just want to ignore. But we have difficulty in that it's very, very difficult to test adequate magnesium in the body. And our blood tests aren't that accurate because what's in the serum is less than or approximately 1% of the magnesium stores that we carry within our cells. 1%. And then we're measuring that 1%, but only 30% of that 1% is active. The rest is bound. So the ability to measure magnesium and the ability to measure it within our bodies and its effectiveness and its availability is very difficult in an office setting. The most accurate of all testing is either a biopsy or a hair analysis, which can be quite accurate for most minerals, and or a urine test where they give you a bolus of magnesium and they measure how much is released in the next so many hours, depending 6 or up to 24 hours. And then we realize if there's very, very little released, your body just took that magnesium up and absorbed it, and your body needed it. What about asthma, Carol, and magnesium?
Well, asthma is one of the things that easily is the spasm going on when people have constricted bronchi and bronchioles, and so that relaxation of magnesium, it's on the epithelial cells of each vessel that we have. But I think we should shift over and talk about what supplements are out there. We've talked about the foods a little bit, but what else can we do to make up a magnesium deficiency? And I've read that our magnesium deficiencies can be so huge that it may take months and months of actually using magnesium before you get enough stored in your body. So I'd like to talk about a couple of them, and one of the things that comes to mind right off the bat is milk of magnesia, magnesium hydroxide. And this formula does not get absorbed, and it's intentional. It's good for constipation. It brings fluid into your intestines because of the draw of the magnesium and the water. The water moves in to make the magnesium less concentrated in the colon. So that's going to cause fecal matter, which has been dried and difficult to pass, much more easily passable. In nursing homes, this might be something that's given to patients every single night, so they have a bowel movement in the morning. I just read another cocktail here called the Brown Cow. Nurses mix prune juice with milk of magnesia to give to their patients for this very reason. So if you're looking something that's going to improve your body stores of magnesium, milk of magnesia does not do it.
How about magnesium citrate?
Okay, these we can find in little bottles in the pharmacy, and you may be directed to take one before some procedures to drink the whole thing down, or you can drink the whole thing down. Here's another one. This form of magnesium is not absorbed, and it's purposely marketed to help clean out the bowel. So again, this is not a good choice. You see it has magnesium in it, but it's not going to get into your body.
Now, there's many magnesiums, and there's a magnesium taurate or threonate. What do you think of those?
Okay, taurine is a wonderful amino acid. So it's magnesium bound to an amino acid. And there are parts of our body that require more taurine than others.
The eyes, the brain, the heart.
Right, and the gallbladder.
And the gallbladder, oh yes.
So this might be a good time, if you're having gallbladder issues, both the magnesium can be relaxing, because remember what we said about spasms. When people are in distress with their gallbladder is in spasm. So both the magnesium and the taurine in magnesium taurate would be especially beneficial for this kind of situation. Now, you also mentioned threonate.
Yes.
So this is considered a very, very good combination.
It's for L-threonate, the brain?
Right. This is one compound that gets into the brain easily. The threonine is relaxing,
mm-hmm.
as is magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are high tension status.
Unable to sleep.
Right. This would be a nice choice. I'd like to go into magnesium chloride a little more.
Oh, yes, please.
So the magnesium chloride is in all the magnesium gels that we're seeing on the market these days. It's a mixture of actually water and magnesium chloride, and you can make your own. I'm sure you can find some YouTubes on how to make your own. But you apply this to the skin, and there's skin absorption with the gels. So people are buying these, again, rub it on your legs for cramping of your legs, any kind of soreness. One of the things that we didn't touch on yet is that extra magnesium will help you recover from aches and sprains and that kind of situation. So putting magnesium chloride directly on the skin in the form of magnesium chloride gel has been helpful. And these things have gotten to be much more popular.
I also like, speaking of skin absorption, and we're able to measure the level of this skin absorption. I love Epsom salt baths. I get the purest I can, and I get a bathtub filled to the top with as warm water as I can stand to get in. I put a cup of Epsom salt, but I also, not always, but most of the time, put about 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide. And oh my goodness, you sit there and you become so relaxed. It's just amazing. And you sit there minimum of 20 minutes. And then you get out of there. And what you do is you dry your body off. You don't rinse. You dry. Just dry. And then you take yourself and go under the covers. Pull the covers up and go right to sleep. And my goodness, talk about a good sleep. But talk about a good therapy. You've literally had an ozone therapy, where the hydrogen peroxide is stimulating oxygen uptake, and the Epsom salt is, through the magnesium, opening the pores and allowing absorption. It's just beautiful. And you wake up feeling so refreshed, and your muscles feel so relaxed. It's just lovely.
I put on our Facebook page, again, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol, a link to a place called the Epsom Salt Council, which gives you all kinds of ways to use Epsom salts for spa treatments and more. And this is magnesium sulfate. If you buy some magnesium sulfate or Epsom salts in the pharmacy, there'll be also directions on how to use this orally, again, for constipation, to clear everything out. And it's quite a rigorous activity. They used to use magnesium sulfate for pre-colonic examinations. So,
and for gallbladder, for gallbladder and liver detox.
Right, so this one's magnesium sulfate. So again, if you do this orally, you're not going to get improved magnesium stores in your body. But if you do it in your bath, somewhat like Corinne prescribes here, which I actually do myself and I love it, you'll have magnesium getting absorbed through your skin, which is a huge benefit. You can also, if you don't have a bathtub, you can do a little
foot bath.
And do a foot bath, also very, very comforting because of the magnesium. But it tends to make your skin very nice and soft and smooth. So very nice skin treatment.
Yes, whenever anyone has a fever before they go to bed, I recommend that they do this either bathtub soak or foot soak. And very often, we're able to break the fever with that. It's just amazing and quite pleasing. I'm always very happy when this works so well. Now, I want to talk a little bit about our bones. Because whenever we talk about bones, we think about calcium. But in actuality, I've seen studies, Carol, where they just added magnesium to the oral protocol, and the bones got stronger and stopped osteoporosis just with the magnesium. So magnesium is important for the formation of the bones, but it's also important for our joints. So if our joints aren't working, if our joints are stiffened, there's so many different things we can look at and diagnose with high probability a lower magnesium level. And one of that is weaker bones and difficulty in the joints. And you add magnesium, maybe that might not be the main cause, but it can improve the condition. Carol, what do you think about high blood pressure?
Oh, high blood pressure, when I spoke about essential, the first place I would look would be a magnesium deficiency. There are other direct causes of hypertension, sometimes hormone disarray, but I bet you would find magnesium at the cornerstone. You mentioned earlier that magnesium has is a cofactor in hundreds of metabolic processes in the body. I've seen in one place as much as 1,000 different reactions. So it's so essential that we have enough magnesium. I was looking on Amazon at some magnesium products, particularly the one from Carolyn DeMarco, which she has a liquid concentrated one. And very interesting, the people's comments about being so frustrated with cardiac, high blood pressure, migraine. Again, what's a headache? It can be a spasm. If it spasms, give it magnesium. The breadth of what magnesium is doing in your body, I'm almost inclined to go have an Epsom salt bath right now.
No, I would love it right now. I'd feel better all day. But, you know, it's really interesting that you said if it spasms, give it magnesium. You know, you heard that probably 30 years ago. But when you have the right phrase and it has some reality behind it, you'll never forget it. But Carol, there are many other, or quite a few other, forms of magnesium that we should understand. Where do you want to go from here?
Oh, we have magnesium glycinate, or I've seen magnesium bisglycinate on the market now too. And that combines magnesium with the amino acid glycine. So glycine has been known to help promote sleep, so that might be a possibility for that one. Although you were telling me about some controversy with magnesium glycinate.
Glycinate and aspartate, in that both of those are not that well absorbed, although we see them quite regularly. And what magnesium does is magnesium supports and allows the GABA receptors to uptake GABA, which is a calming hormone. So you've got a calming mineral and a calming hormone. Well, aspartate and glycinate are more sympathetic or agitating amino acids. So you've got a calming mineral bound to a more agitating amino acid. And they're not, they don't absorb well. And you have opposing type of actions in that one nutrient.
There's another form that we should talk about, and it's magnesium oxide.
Okay.
And can be beneficial to the colon because of the oxygen source. But I've seen it in a lot of magnesium preparations. Sometimes you'll get several different kinds of magnesium in a certain preparation. One of the things you have to be aware of, that amount of magnesium oxide, again, does not get absorbed that well. Another form of magnesium is the malate, malic acid.
Oh, yes.
Found in magnesium. And remember how you brought up how important this was to ATP, because it's really magnesium ATP, our energy molecule?
Yes.
This is all in our citric acid or Krebs cycle, which is the number of reactions that help produce this ATP. And as we're producing ATP, malic acid is one of the molecules that we need to get to the final steps. So this also enriches your cycle to produce ATP. I was reading also that sugar, interesting enough, if you're using sugar or fructose, just in the processing of this, and sugar's going right into that Krebs cycle or citric acid cycle to make energy, but that process itself uses up a tremendous amount of magnesium to get there. So that's where this magnesium malate, if you're trying to concentrate on your ability of your body to produce energy, that might be a good choice for you.
It's interesting because every time we start a mineral and in our Back to Basics series, I say, oh, there's not enough on that mineral to create a whole show. No, we're really going to have to add and augment and support to keep the interest and to focus the listener. But yet, well, at least I see that there's just so much on each mineral and so much understanding there that if we understand this, we will do much better in terms of our ability to take care of ourselves. You know, now I hope everybody got exactly what we're saying, is that magnesium is a basic piece of all health programs. Whether you're growing, you're young and growing, whether you're pregnant, especially when you're pregnant, whether you're working out and trying to build muscle, you can't do that without magnesium. Whether you're going into menopause, essential for helping to balance your body's uptake and relationship to their hormones. Whether you're getting older and you're having, you're looking and you're flirting with hypertension and you're flirting with blood sugar disorders, and when and if, and I hope that's not a given, you're having memory problems. Magnesium is an essential piece of that, and you can augment the magnesium by the cofactors, the protein cofactors that you choose when you get your magnesium. And also, when you're eating your food. So I really hope that everybody understood this. Magnesium is essential. It's a worldwide deficiency due to our farming practices. We need it for energy. If we're walking around half-mast, unable to focus, unable to sleep, yet unable to function throughout the day, we need more magnesium. That's one big piece of this problem.
I want to add one more thing in the hormone realm. Women with severe PMS are often helped by progesterone. But if you use progesterone only, you are not getting the cofactors and coenzymes that you need to work with the progesterone. And the cofactor for progesterone is, of course, magnesium. And the coenzyme is vitamin B6, which your body needs tons of if you're suffering from PMS. So here you go. I can drag it back to hormones just about every time, too.
So I want to thank you for sticking with us and spending this hour. I hope you enjoyed your morning. You just relaxed in this wonderful, sunny, chilly day and just relaxed and listened to us. And I know if you were listening, you learned something because there was a lot to learn here. So thank you very much. And thank you, Carol. Every time we're together, I always learn.
Oh, and I learn too. My goodness. There's more and more research. You think you know something. when you start looking, you go, oh my goodness, we know even more now. So it's really helpful for us to brush ourselves up on all this too.
So we'll be back next week. Enjoy your week. Stay healthy. Keep up your nutrients and stay healthy. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.